The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Yeah, let's look to the Lord and let's ask God's blessing on our service today. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we are just so grateful, we're so thankful for your goodness to us, for your mercy, and for your grace.
Amen.
We come today, Lord, to worship you. We come to worship you by lifting up our voices. We come to worship you by the giving and receiving of an offering. We come to worship you by listening to the special music, and then having our ears and full attention given to the preaching of the word. Lord, let us honor and glorify you today. Heavenly Father, we think of those that cannot be here today. We pray for those who might be traveling this weekend. Watch over them and give them traveling mercies. Those who are not feeling well, we pray that you would place your healing hand upon them and restore their strength. For those at the workplace this morning, be with them. Help them to sense your presence. Lord, we especially want to pray for Dawn this morning and her family and the tragedy that they experienced yesterday. We pray that your comforting hand will be upon Dawn. Help her to sense your presence in her life this morning. Help us to remember to lift her up in prayer. She goes through a very difficult and dark time, that she would see our Savior Jesus Christ through it all, that she would sense his power and his presence and the very peace that passeth all understanding. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Special guest with us today, Brother Bob DeWitt and Peter. Peter is going to give us testimony in just a moment. Peter is a Burmese national. I think you told me, if I remember correctly, moved here about 7 years ago and is preparing actually to go back to Burma and to start a work there. Brother DeWitt, I don't know how long we've known each other. I don't even remember how we met, but somehow or another we met and began to support his work in Solid Rock Youth Ministry. On Wednesday, I shared with the folks how you got involved in Burma. You might want to just tell us, not everybody knows that, and how the Lord worked all of that out. But Golden Land Baptist Missions, and Brother Bob went to Burma and back, I think you told me, 4 times last year. Sounds right. And just doing and being used of the Lord, do a great, great work there. So just glad to be able to have a small part in your ministry and thankful for your faithfulness there in the land of Burma and all that you do for the Lord. Bob, why don't you come and just introduce us to him and just tell us a little bit about that, all right? Welcome.
Thank you. Morning. Really excited to be back here in North Adams at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. And I have Peter Judson with, stand up, Peter, come on up here. And Peter Judson has a wife and 3 children, and they have been here for the last 7 years as refugees from Myanmar or Old Burma. And he'll tell you all about that. And but in Burma or Myanmar, he is Cho Chowong. And tell them how you got saved, and very quickly tell them how you got saved, and then how God led you here, and then what God's put in your heart. And this is a man of God.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. And thank you for God allowing us to come here, and thank you for Pastor and his family and church members. And I want to say, I was Buddhism before, until 23 years old, and then I left my country because of our family situation, and then I want to go to Bangkok and find a job and make money, but I have to pass through the border, the Masat, what they call Masat border. So I met with a Burmese preacher. He explained to me how to be saved. So I trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior on July 16, 1995. So I'm no more Buddhism right now, so I'm glad that because of the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So not of works, lest any man should boast. Yesterday, we've been passed through Troy City, and we met with a Burmese man. And we explained, Brother Bob Dewey, he explained about works and grace. So I choose grace since 1995. So we are very excited to go back to Burma in a few more months. We have a little bit of process for the paperwork for my children name changing process. So, and I was learning the Bible for five years in Bible Institute, and that same pastor that he led me to the Lord. So I studied with him, and then I moved to we went to United States because of our difficulty of situation in Thailand. Because police arrest us all the time, so we want to come to United States. So we came to United States 2008, May 20, 2008. So the next May 20, 2015 will be we 7 years in United States. So God has put it in my family hearts that we need to go back and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are very exciting. We are no more Buddhism. They have no fundamental Baptist church and soul winning church in the place that we are going back to. So we are very exciting. So please pray for us and thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I got saved in 1969. I was 13 years old. I had seen death for the first time in my life up close and personal. And all of a sudden, I realized that I needed God. Problem is all of us need God, and we all need a Savior. And that's why we're going to Myanmar or old Burma. And 2 years later, it was 1971. I was 15 years old. I gave my whole life to the Lord. I went to an altar just much like this one. I got down on my knees, and I told the Lord, I said, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, and I'll be anything you want me to be. I just want to be with you, Lord, for the rest of my life. And so for the last 40-some years, tried to follow the Lord and obey His voice, and I've never been sorry about that. God has blessed my wife and I more than we could ever have dreamed of, and I have been around the world many times now preaching the Word of God, and I am having the time of my life. My wife and I got married in 1977. We've been full-time in the ministry ever since, and I was a pastor. And then you all know me as Bob DeWitt from Solid Rock Youth Ministries. For about 16 years after starting Solid Rock Youth Ministry, we had literally tens of thousands of young people saved coast to coast. In 2008, I was sitting in my office over in Horseheads, New York, near Elmira Corning, got an email from a pastor called Tay Nguyen Y. Pastor Tay Nguyen Y was an Asochen tribal pastor in the middle of old Burma, and he had been in jail four times for preaching the gospel. He'd been beaten with rods, and he'd been stoned, and he had not only his church that he had started without government permission, but he had 60 orphans, 60 plus orphans, and he said, I found your website for troubled youth, realhelpforteens.com. And I couldn't imagine how a man in the middle of a jungle, in the middle of Burma, had found a website, much less even got on the internet, and I just couldn't imagine. I couldn't put this all together, and I really thought it was a scam. He said, I found your website for troubled youth, and he said, I've got 60 plus young people, children, that are getting a spoonful of rice every other day. We have to decide who eats and who doesn't eat. Will you help us like you help them? And I had my finger on the delete button. How many have ever gotten something from Nigeria, you know? And they say, you know, give us some information and you have won millions of dollars, you know? And so we've all learned that you don't even open those, you just delete it. And I had my finger on that delete button, and God spoke to my heart. And I got to tell you, over 46 years of being a born-again Christian, I've heard the voice of the Lord before. And I know what it feels like when the Holy Ghost speaks to my heart. How about you? And so I knew it was the Lord. And I remember literally saying, now what? And I could not delete that email. Rather, I answered this pastor on the other side, the exact opposite side of the planet, and I said, give me your testimony of salvation and your doctrinal statement. And I thought, that'll do it, and I'll be done with this. But in 4 days, less than 4 days, I got something back from him that was so impressive and so organized that I began to not only correspond with him, but then to help him. And I went to my wife and I said, we're going to give $200. We're going to give this guy $200 a month out of our own pockets. She said, yeah, right. She said, okay, brain surgeon. Even if God gives us, she said, how are we going to do that? I said, God's going to give it to us and then we're going to give it to him. And she said, well, even if we get it from the Lord, how are we going to get it to this man over on the other side of the world? And I said, I don't know. And, you know, sometimes you just got to obey and follow the Lord when you don't understand. And so we sent it from New York to Singapore. And from Singapore, somebody that I'd never met and still don't know in Singapore sent it to somebody that I still didn't know in Thailand. And somebody in Bangkok, Thailand, sent it to somebody else in Yangon, Old Rangoon, a city of 7 million Buddhists and tens of thousands of Buddhist pagodas. And then somebody in Rangoon, Yangon, they sent it up to a place called Magway Division and the village of Ong Lan and Thiet Mayu, which is a township. And this man came out of the jungle and went to a general store and collected his money. And over 6 months, we never lost a dime. It all got there, every single penny. And I still don't understand how all that happened, but then Pastor Tain Win E, euphonics people, listen, his name is Tain Win E, starts with an H. And I got his email. He says, what would hinder you from coming to our country and visiting us? I said, your government! Because Burma has been a brutal military dictatorship killing millions of its own people for the last 50 plus years. In 1962, they tossed all foreigners and especially Christian missionaries out of the country and closed the entire society to the rest of the world, completely closed it off, isolated it from the rest of the world for all this time. And yet, God gave me a visa. There were five or six other pastors says, we'll go with you. I said, good. About a month and a half before the trip, they all backed out. And this little old lady up in the Adirondacks, she came to me in a preacher's fellowship meeting, kept poking me in the chest. She said, Brother Bob, I think that God always meant for you to go by yourself. I said, thanks a lot. Now, I'd been in Ukraine. I'd been in Russia. I'd been in a lot of different places around the world. I've been in Amsterdam and England, and I've been all over Mexico and Canada and but I'd never been in Asia, and I really didn't understand the Asian culture. And of course that's duplicitous. But anyway, I got a visa. I got on a plane. I flew to from my house to Detroit, Michigan. From Detroit, Michigan, got on a great big 747. Flew to Tokyo. I asked the stewardess. I said, exactly how long is this flight? She said, it never ends. This is the flight that never ends, you know. And so we spent a couple hours layover in Tokyo and then flew to Bangkok, another 7 hours, 14 hours, then 7 hours, I spent 9 hours on a counter stool in the Bangkok Suvarnabhumi International Airport, and flew to Rangoon with a bunch of saffron-robed monks with bald heads and bare feet. And I really stuck out. You know, like whipped cream on a brownie. I got off in Rangoon, and this pastor that I'd never met face-to-face picked me up, and I saw him outside the window as I was going through military intelligence and their they searched everybody. They searched the guy's bags in front of me. They searched the guys behind me. I was carrying contraband. I was carrying gospel tracts and this and that, which were contraband. You can go to jail for a long time for this. They never even looked at me. I went right through scot-free. And I'm starting to think, maybe I'm supposed to be here. You say, well, what did you go over there for? I don't know. What were you trying to accomplish? I don't know. I really had no idea. I was just trying to obey God, Ethan. I was just trying to obey the Lord. And so in the first week, I preached the gospel in about a dozen different underground churches. Churches that met in houses or apartments or basements, secretly, quietly. And they invited a bunch of Burmese people, and I literally, in that first week, we went to the Rangoon River, and I baptized hundreds of Buddhists who turned from idols and spirit worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, with a government informer standing on the riverbank yelling and screaming into his cell phone, "Foreigner, foreigner!" But nobody came. I got into a 1972 Toyota Corolla with natural air conditioning between your legs, where you could see the road going by, dirt road. Went for 8 hours up the PA road along the Irrawaddy River, which is the Mississippi of Burma. And as I got there to the village of Ong Lan, where Pastor Tain Win Yee had his ministry up there in the middle of the country, it was 4:30 in the morning. By 5 o'clock, we were already having a lesson. All the children got up. All the adults came in. The place was packed out. By 10 o'clock, we are starting our third service. By 2 in the afternoon, we are going into our fourth, and that's when the military police and military intelligence came and arrested me, put me in handcuffs, and took me away. And they kept me short time. They said, "You must go back to Rangoon." I said, "I want to go on to Mandalay." They said, "No, you must go back to the city of Rangoon." So I said, "Okay, okay." So I went back, and I went to our consulate, embassy there. We had no real, because of the government there, we had no ambassador. But the consul there, he said, "You need to get out of Dodge." He said, "You don't want to see the inside of their political prison." They, at the time, they had 50 plus thousand political prisoners in a place called Insane Prison. I-N-S-E-I-N, insane, not the other way. So I went to my hotel. I packed my bags. He said, "Go to the airport and catch the first plane out of here, no matter where it's going. Just get out of here." He said, "It doesn't matter. Just take a plane to Pakistan, take a plane to Afghanistan, take a plane to India. It doesn't matter. Just get out of here." And I tried. And God shut every door and made it crystal clear to me I was supposed to stay there for another 14 days until my planned departure. In that time, hundreds more people got saved. And preaching the gospel in underground churches and places that I never thought I'd be. And that was in February 2009. And I came back to the States finally with a Burmese preacher. And I thought, I'm going to take him back here to America and travel around and get him a little support and then send him back to do his work with some financial assistance. And then I'll be done with this, and I'll go back to Solid Rock Youth Ministries. That was my plan. God had other ideas. And we started Golden Land Baptist Missions. And Golden Land Baptist Missions is a ministry. It's a missions agency of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Horseheads, New York, under Pastor Richard Hack and our deacons, officers of the church. We're preaching the gospel. We're planting churches, and we're teaching. We now have a school. I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. And with 250 students, we're providing a lot of needs for 600 orphans right now. In just 6-7 years of my involvement, I just took my, Peter and I, Chocho Wong and I, we just got back Christmas Eve. It was my number 12 trip to Myanmar. And we're training nationals. Most people don't understand that Burma or Myanmar is, how many know where Burma is? 1, 2, 3, well, a few of you. So between India and Thailand, south of China, on the exact opposite side of planet Earth. And so God gave me the vision to start 700 churches in Burma through training preachers and sending them out, and we're already well on our way to doing that in just 6-7 years. We have two Bible institutes. We've had Buddhist monks saved and who are now preaching the gospel. God has been real. We've seen tens of thousands of people saved in just a short time. But 700 because there's 14 states and divisions in the country of Myanmar. So 50 in each of the 14 states equals 700. Myanmar is physically bordered by five countries and surrounded by 12, making it the hub of the wheel geographically in Southeast Asia. My plan is to train these men to send out, start churches not only across old Burma, but out the spokes of the wheel to the rest of Southeast Asia. And we're already doing this. So this past November and December, like I said, we went to Burma. This whole slideshow is going to be about that trip. Because you support me, because you support whatever ministry I'm in, you started supporting our ministry under Solid Rock Youth Ministries. You had the vision, foresight to continue even when I stopped really working with Solid Rock Youth Ministries. Now, we still have a toll-free hotline, and we're leading people to the Lord all the time over that thing. That thing rings off the hook many days and nights. But my heart is in Burma now. And I told a bunch of preachers just a month ago in upstate New York, tears running down my face, I said, "Preachers, I'm sorry. I don't want to be here." And I don't. I want to be there. And what my real heart, what my burden is I want to go there, live, die, and be buried with my people in Burma. And people don't understand that. But God put the Burmese people in my heart, and I'll never get over it. It's changed my life. And I can't live without these people. So this is the Bliss Baptist Academy in Massot, Thailand, right on the Burmese border on the Mui River. And I want you to meet some of our kids. This is Tiffany McDonald. She is born and raised in Rensselaer and Albany area. And she's over there now teaching English. This is Cho Cho Wong or Peter Judson teaching some of our young people. This is my adopted Burmese son and daughter. This is Kongti Cho and Nay Pwe Pyu. And Kongti Cho is a preacher boy, and he is 12 years old, and Nay Pwe Pyu here is 10. They are one of the great loves of my life. Here we have Cho Cho Wong and myself and some of our students there. I want you to meet our kids. Somebody is for sure going to ask me, what's the cream on their faces? It's called Tanaka, and the people there do this. It's part of their culture. It's sunscreen. It's bug repellent. It's good for your skin, but they just do it, and it's very peculiar to their country alone, the Tanaka right here. If I can get this remote to work. Hello. Maybe I need to step up here. Anyway, this is our school buildings. I raised $20,000 to build these school buildings. You'll see some more of them. We are teaching our young people. That's Kongti Cho, my son, preaching in his English class. These are our kids. And they are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful young people. Have you ever wondered what happened to the boy with the five loaves and two fishes? We're trying to make God real to young people who have never heard about Jesus, who have never been in church. Some of these young people, we've had all of our young people there in Massot have been saved, and many, many, many of their parents as well. On our trip, Cho Cho Wong, that's how you say it, Cho Cho Wong, I'm Baji to everyone in Burma and the Burmese here in America. And that's a long story. But Cho Cho Wong and myself, we got on bikes there in Massot, and we went out to the Gospel Baptist Church farm. That's what our church there. And this is Peter leading these pure Burmese Buddhists to the Lord who were working for us out there taking care of our animals. This is Peter reunited with Seo or Pastor Joseph, who led him to the Lord many years ago. This is Pastor Joseph. And he is a real soul winner. He is Burmese. Peter Judson becomes Cho Cho Wong and takes off his long pants and takes everything out of his suitcase and puts them in a trash bag, slings it over his shoulder, and goes into the country back in late November, incognito, because the government of Burma would not give him a visa like me. They give me a visa, but they don't want him, since he's now a U.S. citizen, coming back in their country. But now it's okay. But back then, it was a problem, and just a couple of months ago. Here we are at the border. We're going to cross from Thailand into Myanmar or old Burma, and some don't take the bridge. Some go under the bridge illegally, and there's a lot of traffic back and forth like that. But this is the Mui River and the border between Thailand and Burma. And on the other side, on the Myanmar side, when you cross the border, when you go into Burma, you step back in time 70 years. And you'll see. The things are just a little bit different on that side. And this is how it is. The roads are not the same. The culture's not the same. The food's not the same. This is the beginning of a Buddhist parade. That's the Buddhist flag. And here they're taking this idol all around town for people to bow down to. And we are on the road from the from the border up over the Cayenne Mountains into the middle of the country. And it's the first time that I've ever been overland into the country. I always flew from Bangkok to Yangon, which was the only doorway. But now they've opened this particular Karen state. We say Karen, it's the Cayenne state. And this state has been closed for 65 years. No foreigner's ever been inside. And I was one of the first. And this is the same route that where we smuggle Bibles. We have to smuggle the Bibles over the border to our preachers inside where our people are waiting for the Word of God. And as we go up the mountain, across the mountains, the roads get worse and worse and worse and worse. But it's beautiful up there. And you can see we're starting down the other side. But getting to the other side is magnificent. And you can see Myanmar is really a beautiful country. Now, wherever you go, there's Buddhist temples. And this is a walkway that's leading up on top of the mountain because they love to put the Buddhist temples on the peaks. This is some Karen young men from Burma down on the flat. And this is a gas station. And they're doing another Buddhist parade, modes of transportation in the country. Like I said, you step back 70 years. This is how they live, their homes. I don't think this Toyota was designed for this. Only in Myanmar. What's on the roof? It's containers. Yeah, I think it's empty containers, but they're going to probably use it to catch rainwater because they don't have water like we do. And I thought it was vitamin bottles. GNC, you know. Yeah. This is the village of Kakrit in Cayenne State. I didn't think I'd ever be here. I never thought in a million years that I'd ever be able to go to this place. We went through this village everywhere, pagodas, or temples, Buddhist temples, even on the mountain. You see them all the way up there on top of this 1,000-foot rock. And this is the countryside. We're heading towards the city of Mulmien, where Peter and his wife Ruth are going to start a church. It's the third city of Judson. There's actually three Baptist churches there, but they're all apostate. You know what they teach? You know what they believe? They believe that you become a Christian by being born into a Christian family. That's Judson's churches. And so this is the road, the superhighway that leads to the city of Mulmien, which is the fourth largest city in the country. And this is some of the things you see. This is one of the major bridges. I took all these pictures through the windshield of our taxi cab that we're taking across country that took us from the border. It took all day to do this. This is Myanmar. Now we're entering the north. We're entering into the city through the northeastern gate to the city. And these are some of the things you see. Now we're right in the city where Peter is going to plant his church. And believe me, this man and his wife will build one of the greatest works that Burma has ever seen. This is a man of God. These people love the Lord and they know exactly what they're doing. And in their language, he has great authority and power to preach the word of God, as we saw on this last trip. some of the neighborhoods in the city. Now, we traveled all day. We're getting there as the sun is going down. The city of Mulamien is on the water, the Andaman Sea, and the Bay of Bengal that goes into the Indian Ocean, of course. And this is downtown. And I'm taking pictures as we're driving around. Again, temples everywhere, idols and worship of spirits everywhere. We're down here on the waterfront now. I'm taking pictures of just basic life in the city. How much can you get on a motor scooter? There's actually a person back there. That's an arm right there. And I think the Burmese can get more on a scooter than any of us. Now, we're right on the waterfront across the road. The boulevard here is our hotel. And all the boats. I took this picture out of the back, out the back window of our hotel room, and then out the front. And come on. That's an island over there, and on the other side of that island is the Andaman Sea. And now this is looking northward across what's called the Tanawin River, Tanawin Bridge. Now, this says Ebenezer Baptist Church, founded by Dr. Adoniram Judson, 1829. This was the second church he started in the city. And he started it as an English-speaking church for the British. And you remember that Burma, for 100-plus years, was an English colony. And so he started this church. He started this church. Hello. He started the First Baptist Church 2 years earlier, 1827, founded by Dr. Adoniram Judson. And so he started this church for the Burmese people, and he started that for the English. But now that the former church, the Ebenezer Church, is now Burmese. Both of them are apostate. Now, there's a price for serving the Lord. And in the front yard of this church, really getting disgusted with this remote control of mine, but this says the grave of Charles Judson, son of Adoniram and Sarah B. Judson, who died August 5th, 1845, age 1 year and 7 months. And this is his granddaughter, who is also buried there, born in Brooklyn, but died there and buried in Burma in the city of Mulamien. Now, this is the Mon Church, the Mon Baptist Church. And we're in Mon State. See, it says Mon Baptist Church, Mulamien, built by Reverend A.C. Darrow, 1925. And this was for the tribal people because we're in Mon State. Burma, there's 150 different people groups and languages. They're all different. If I say hello to you, if I say hello, how are you in Burmese, I would say, Mingalapa ni kangla. If I say the same thing in, like, for instance, Karen, I would say, Osu okle, tabu de malo. And they're totally different. They don't look alike. They don't share the same alphabets. They don't sound alike. And so Burma is a little difficult to minister into, but we're seeing thousands of people saved. Now, this says Memorial Square of Missionaries to Mon Baptist. And you're going to see behind the church building. This is Peter at these graves. These are all the grave sites of American and British Baptist missionaries who gave everything to win these people to Christ, but a long, long time ago. This says Reverend J.M. Haswell, D.D., born Bennington, Vermont. Now, in that town, or in that city of Mulamien, we were talking with a young man who was telling us, yes, you become a Christian by being born into a Christian family. And he said, there's a hospital. And so I said, where's the hospital? He said, it's a leper hospital. So we went to this hospital, and I told Peter, I said, I want to go. He said, you want to go? He said, when? I said, right now. So we got us a three-wheeler, which is a motorcycle on the front and a cart on the back, and we went about 3 miles out of town to this leprosy hospital. And when we got there, the groundskeeper said, the whole staff is on vacation today, And so they're all gone. There's nobody here. I said, what about the patients? He said, oh, you can visit the patients. I said, well, that's why we came. And so we went in there and held this preaching service, and every one of those patients in that hospital gave their hearts to Christ. And these are Buddhists and Muslims who may have never had another presentation of the gospel ever. The young man in the middle is 16 years old. He's had leprosy since he was 9 years old. So for 7 years, he's been fighting leprosy, and one of his feet are already gone. And these are all of these young men who trusted Christ. You can see this man has no toes anymore. And these are all your new brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, here, this is a Muslim man, his wife and their baby, who turned from the worship of Allah to Jesus Christ. This is another Muslim who trusted Christ as his Savior. And these men and this Buddhist monk turned from the worship of idols and spirits to the Lord Jesus Christ, living Savior. And he was so happy about it. This monk, when he received Christ, tears running down his face, he said, Baji, please, please promise me that you will come back. I had not touched any of these lepers yet. He stuck his hand out. And as he stuck his hand out, I'm thinking, Lord, should I? And so I shook his hand, and then he came to hug my neck. And but this man is precious new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that would have gone to hell. But my people are, I want you to understand, my people in Burma are suffering every single day of their life with famine, hunger, disease, pestilence. Every single day they suffer, and then go to hell without ever hearing one time that there's a Savior. This man was standing outside the window. I thought maybe he's an administrator, maybe he's a doctor, maybe he's going to close us, maybe he's going to shut us down, maybe he's going to make us stop preaching the gospel. But when I gave the invitation, this man stepped in, tears running down his face. He said, I want this Savior to be my Savior also. He said, help me. And he put his faith and trust in Christ. This smiles on his face after he did so. Now, we got on a bus there in Mulamien, and we made our way towards Yangon to meet with Dr. Banfi, who is going to meet us in the city of Yangon and go on the second half of our trip in the month of December. He is the dean of the business school at Crown College and working with us. And so we got on this bus, and our first stop was the village of Taton. And Taton is very near to Chochoong's, the village where he was born and raised. And this is his father. He had not seen his mother and father and sister in the last 20 years. But on this trip, they came together for the first time in 20 years. This is his sister. Now, this is Pastor Tain Win Yee, my initial contact in Burma back in 2008. He and his wife, Dashitam, and his sister, and all their children, and they're doing a wonderful, wonderful work. That's their church and their school building back there, you can see. And this is the ministry that they have built there. Despite all the persecution, despite disease, one of the first things that happened there after I came back, after I was arrested there and after I came back from there, and just a couple months later, one of the young people that I fell in love with while I was there passed away. He was 14 years old, and God used that to really put these people in my heart. This is their kitchen. The girls, 6 o'clock in the morning, are boiling water to make rice for breakfast, and they're eating. Some of the staff, some of the people that are working, most of them without any salary, without anything other than bare necessities. And these are selfless people who have given their lives to teach the children not only reading, writing, arithmetic, but the Word of God. The young men here are having their morning devotions there in the church and school. It's a great reunion time for me. This is Pastor Tain Win Yee's pulpit, and we're having a service. And the young people are singing. If you go on my website, goldenlandbaptistmissions.com, or if you go on my Facebook, you can see these children, videos of them singing in English. And Pastor Tane has been teaching them English through song and through music. And they sing beautifully, powerfully. This is Cho Cho Wong preaching in that service there in the middle of Burma. Now this is Dr. Banfi and Peter, and we're about to get on the boat, walk up that plank, and take this across the river, a couple miles across the river, and to the village of what's called Thayet, and you go back in time again. And this is the biggest, darkest Burmese I have ever seen in my life. But he is the boatman. These are some of our preacher boys in the back of the boat that went across the river with us. Now, last year when I was in this place, a couple of years ago when I visited Thayet on that side of the river, we were dogged by military intelligence and police officers. And this time as well, they followed us, and we had to sign all the papers and so forth. So they're just not used to having foreigners in this place. And I was one of the very first a couple of years ago to be on that side of the river. I was the very first foreigner to ever be on Tane's side in the village of Ong Lan, and that's probably why I was arrested. Now, we're going across the river, and across the river, by the way, you see the pagodas in the back there, and they just pepper the landscape, because it's not just their religion, it's their culture. And trying to get out of the way of that. It's wash day on the river, and they're unloading a boat and working there on the river. Now we get to the other side, to the village of Thayet. That's Thayet. And things are a little different there, a little more primitive, as you can see. And I took all these pictures. Now this is Pastor Batu, B-A, and then H-T-O-O, Batu, Pastor Batu, who's ministering on that side of the river, greeting Pastor Peter. This is actually 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And Peter Banfi and Peter Cho Cho Wong. And so we're going to have a service here with Pastor Batu and his Thayet Baptist Church. And this is Pastor Batu's youngest child. Isn't she a doll baby? And we're going to back. After the service, we went back across the river. I want you to pray for my brother Zai. Z-A-I. Zai is 16 years old. Now, how many young people, how many 16-year-old boys, Brother Ethan, would take your hand and walk with you down Main Street here in North Adams for several miles? And when he's not holding your hand, he's hugging your neck and the tears running down, and he said, Baji, do you know my name? We got to the hotel. He said, Baji, do you know my name? And I hung my head and I said, I'm sorry, I forgot. And he says, I am Zaimin Ong. I said, can I call you Zai? He said, yeah. Jay, so about it. Thank you very much. And I said, Zai, why do you want me to know your name? He said, because God wants me to serve him, and I need you to help me do that. I'll never forget Zai. But Zai is going to be one of our preachers who is going to make a great impact among his own people in the country of Myanmar or Burma. And back there at Pastor Tane's complex, these are a couple of our other preacher boys. Now back in Yangon, the city of Old Rangoon, 7 million people. This is one of our strongest preachers in Myanmar. His name is Tong Lien. I brought him here several years ago, and he traveled with me around the country. And Tong Lien has a great ministry. And these are some of his men that he is training to send out. And these are great. These men already have their own churches. They already are winning Buddhists and Muslims to Christ. They're already planting multiple churches and are still doing training, actually. Now, this is Pastor Mangsa. It's M-A-N-G-S-A-R, Mangsa. And they kind of say they're R's like Boston people. Not at all. And so Mangsa is like the Apostle Paul of Burma. And he is a very brave man and a selfless man, powerful preacher, powerful soul winner. But he has a wife and 9 children, and their lives are in danger every single day. Can I say that again? Did you get that? Their lives are in danger every single day by the Buddhists and Muslims. They've had to move 3 times within their own village where they're starting a church. And I want you to pray for Mong Sa. And this is some of our children in Yangon who are part of a school that we have there in the ministry of Tong Lien. And I want you to hear them. Young people are all from Buddhist families. They've been saved, and now their families have come to Christ. These are orphans. While we're in the city of Yangon, we had to take Peter Banfi, the dean there at Crown, to what's called Shwedagon. And Shwedagon is a gold temple. It is the largest and most famous of all Buddhist temples in the world. One of the seven wonders of the world. And we took him there. Idols. There's 10,000 idols, what they call stupas, around the big temple. And there people are worshiping. They're praying to spirits. But every time that you... By the way, this family, they are teaching their baby son how to pour water over Buddha's head to wash away his sins. That's what they're doing. But anytime you go to these temples, there's always a cash box. You cannot pray to the spirits without giving money. Even here at this great big statue of Buddha, there's a cash box right there. I want to share with you some of our pastors. There's no way that I could share every one of them. We're working with hundreds of men and that have a heart for souls in their own country. Seya means pastor. And so this is Seya Alin and his wife and baby girl. And she is amazing. And these are some of his orphans that he's taking care of. Pastor Alin and his wife were newlyweds last year when I visited them. Their entire married life is under a blanket in the middle of a dozen widows and all of their children in a one-room bamboo hut. That's their life. When I was there, Dr. Banfi and I, we bought them a great big rice cooker. I said, what do you want? What do you need, Pastor? And the only thing, he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for a car. He asked for a rice cooker just to feed his children. This is Seya Ong Shui and some of the people he's led to the Lord. This is his wife and baby. This is Seya James. And we just paid the rent for 10 months on their new place. They were thrown out because they were the house they were renting because they were preaching the Word of God. This is Seya Boy Ling. Boy Ling has about 40 orphans and building a great church. This is Seya Tin Mong Le. And Tin Mong Le is a great translator. He's from a different people group, different tribe, and he's reached his people. But the greatest need they have right now is just for a toilet. A bathroom. So they're trying to raise some money to build a new John there on their property for their family and their church. Now, when we got back into Thailand on the other side of the border, we flew back to Bangkok and then flew to Massad on the border. There's many Burmese. There's a 500,000 Burmese people on the other side of the border inside Thailand. And we have been systematically going to these villages and preaching the gospel. I have a 1,000-seat tent over there. We hold great big tent meetings preaching the Word of God. But there's an open door there. And Massad is right there. And I went from there over here to Molamien and then up to Yangon and then up to right in here is is Pastor Tang Wen Yi. I've been all through here. I've been up in here on the Chinese border. I've been a lot of places in Myanmar. But anyway, in Thailand, we're going to these villages. Now, this is our first approach to what's called a Lahu village. The Lahu people are another tribe, Burmese tribe, from the village. And we went there and we walked through the village. We didn't preach here. We just went to meet some of the people and try to make contact with them. And so we went to a school. These young ladies, these girls are running from us white boys. And they're scared, but they're also having fun with us. That you see this girl that's smiling big, and her, they've been running from us and so forth. It's like a game that we were playing. But we've never met them before. They soon began to warm up to us. And that's me inside there. And these are very warm, warm people. They're at the school. This is their water supply in that village. Now, just outside the village is like a market, the only market that's anywhere. It's kind of like one of our farmer's markets, kind of, sort of. But then again, maybe not. They farm these bugs, and they put them in a pot with a mortar and grind them up, and then mix them in the salad, and they give a lot of flavor. Trust me. Believe me on that. And this is one. This you may see. You saw this one, but not these three. And it's one of the things they do. And this is what we call quit you. And I love it. You ladies and girls would love these handmade bags. Now, in another village, I was preaching the gospel, and this man was cranking with a hand crank his way in a wheelchair down the road and came to where I was preaching so he could hear the gospel. He was Buddhist. And when he finally got there, the service was over, but he said, I want to hear it. I want to understand. He said, please tell me. And this man gave his heart to Christ. Folks, they're hungry. They're hungry for the Lord Jesus, for the truth of the gospel. In that village, we're walking through the village. These are some of the things that you see. This lady was sewing in an open window, and I asked her if I could share the gospel, and she gave her heart to Christ. This is my son, Kong Ticho, and one of our preacher boys meeting with the village chief and having lunch together. And this is in another village. And these, by the light of one candle, it was dark, and we held this service and preached the gospel, the first time they've ever heard it. And these people received Christ as their Savior. We want to plant a church there. Now we're going to another village, a whole other village far away. And we finally got to the village and we're walking through. This is one of our preacher boys here sharing the gospel with these Burmese men. They're passing out Burmese, John, and Romans. This is Mura and Mary. And there are some of our young ladies in our Bible Institute there, and they're witnessing to this Burmese lady. And Caleb. Yeah. And Caleb last year was passing out gospel tracts in John and Romans on the street in Masat, Thailand, right there on the Burmese border. And some Thai young men came along about 30, 35 miles an hour on a motorcycle and had a lead pipe, and they hit him in the face with the lead pipe going by at 35 miles an hour, knocking him to the ground and crushing everything from the bridge of his nose down. He had to have plastic surgery. We helped him financially in repairing his face. And 6 months later, he is back out on the street and witnessing again to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading this Buddhist man to Christ. Now, we're walking through the village, and we're passing out literature, and we're talking to people, which you cannot do inside Burma, but you can do it in Thailand. And there's no problem there. Even though last year they had a military coup, and the government is military right now in Thailand. But we're walking through this village, and all of a sudden I hear a voice, Bajibab, Bajibab, please come. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden, finally, from around the side of this shack, piecemeal shack, Mura comes, our young lady, one of the young ladies in our Bible Institute, and she she's screaming, Baji Bob, please come with me. And so I ran, and we went around here, and we went into this house. There's a Buddhist spirit house out front of the home where they're hanging flowers and putting food and all kinds of little things to appease the spirit and that lives in that temple, that little. It's like kind of like statues of Mary for Catholics in America, but they have a Buddhist temple, a spirit house in front of the Buddhist homes. And we went past that and went into the house. And as we walked in, I saw this woman laying there, skin and bones, blackened teeth protruding through her lips that she cannot open to eat or speak. And as I walked into that, as I climbed up into that bamboo hut, I saw this woman, and I thought she was a leper. But she was trembling, and the sweat was pouring off her, and she was obviously in the process of dying and on the absolute edge, the precipice of hell itself. And her family was asking this white Baptist American preacher to pray for their mother. And I looked at Moora and I said, I started to cry. And I said, Moora, I said, tell her the gospel in her language, very slowly and distinctly, like you really believe she's hearing everything. She was blind. They said she was deaf. And I begged God, as she was giving the gospel to this woman, I begged God to give us just a window, or her to give her a window of understanding. And I don't know. She slipped off into eternity. I don't know if she heard. I don't know if she accepted. But her family trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, this is one of our teachers in our school there in Masat, Thailand. She's Burmese, but she was Muslim. And we had to hire her because we couldn't find anyone to teach the subject that she was teaching. But now she has turned to Christ, and she invited us to her home and invited all of her neighbors to come and hear the gospel, and her neighbors got saved. Now, this is Kongticho and Naypuepu in front of the road that leads down to their village, and you can't see the village behind these trees, but we're going there to preach the gospel, and so many in the village. As I climbed up into this bamboo hut, they crowded in and around it with Peter and I and Dr. Banfi, and we preached, and these people received Christ as their personal Savior. And we want to start a church up here, and I'll send a preacher boy very soon to this place. These are your new brothers and sisters in Christ. A woman had this 6-week-old Burmese baby boy. And I said, give me. And she placed it in my arms. And I said, God bless you. And I held this baby in my arms. And I looked into his face. And I said, young man, you don't have to go to hell now, because your mommy and daddy just accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're going to tell you a lot about him. God's doing a real work in that place. Now, it's further south along the Burmese border is this refugee camp. There's actually 9 camps like this. In this place, there's 10,000 people living mostly without utilities. And some of them have been there 20 years waiting to come to America, just like so many others. Our Burmese refugees are here in America right now in 185 different cities here seeking refuge, because running from their military government. And we went to this place and held a wonderful service. Peter was able to preach in their language. Had to take the death highway to this place. 192 turnbacks. You don't know what a turnback is. Hairpin turn or whatever. And thousands of feet drop off along the way. Finally got down here, visited these people, preached the gospel, This is some of the tribal young ladies doing a dance, and I think you can hit that video for me real quick. Some of our preacher boys had to get in on the act, because you never miss a good opportunity to flirt with a pretty girl. And so they stepped in and almost messed it all up. There he is. You got to really keep the timing on this and get your toes squished. Now, in that village, we're praying with the preachers trying to win some people to the Lord. This is in another village at night. We went there to preach the gospel. Never been there before. Peter is leading these Buddhist ladies to the Lord. Our last week on the missions trip, which was 38 days, we put up the tent, and this is Pastor Emmanuel Sinoy. He's Filipino and the fruit of American missions. And, of course, Chocho Wong or Peter Judson. And we're holding a big meeting on Saturday. 750 children from Buddhist and Muslim homes came to hear the Word of God preached. I want you to meet some of our children. Some of these are our students. Some of these are just young people from the community. This is Nguyen Nguyen Lang. The government brought Nguyen Nguyen to us about 5 years ago, put her in our orphanage, but she's not an orphan. She's pure Burmese, but her drunken mother and father beat her until she almost died. And this past year, in month of March, I went to home, back to her home village. And I said, Nguyen Nguyen, I want you to go with me. I said, we're going to take some other young people. I want you to go. She said, no, Baji, I'm afraid. I scare. I said, it'll be okay. She said, no, Baji. She said, me afraid. I said, it'll be okay. And I pretty much forced her to go. She got in the back of the truck with us, and we went, I don't know how many hours, down to her village. And we got there, and I preached the Word of God and three different places. And hundreds of people came in. In the second place, the middle one, I was sitting Indian style on a bamboo mat, and I had Kongticho, my son, underneath one arm, and I had my Bible in my lap, and I had Nguyen Nguyen Lang right here under this arm. What I didn't realize is that the man and woman sitting in front of us in that packed building was her mother and father, who had almost killed her 5 years before. This is her mother in December, who came to our tent meeting and put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is Nguyen Nguyen Lang now. Her family is, her entire family is now born again and serve the Lord. And there's so many like this. The gospel has power to change lives all around the world. This is Kim Hunter from Charlotte, North Carolina. She'll tell you that 10 years ago, she was trying to take her life, and I saved her life. I think God saved her life, but I had something to do with it. But she was on every illegal drug you can imagine. She was on booze. She was cutting herself, and she was a mess. She's been abused all of her life, all growing up. She never remembers a time when she was not abused. She got married, and her husband left her. And she's all by herself. She went back to school. I encouraged her to complete her degree. And now she's an English teacher, and she teaches in a very prestigious Korean school in Seoul. She heard that we were going to be in Thailand and Myanmar, and she said, can I come and visit? Just a few days. Well, she spent a week. She fell in love with our children. And this Kim Hunter is now supporting our work at $1,000 a month out of her own pocket, because her eye affected her heart, as the prophet Jeremiah said. Some of our young people in our school. This is one of my best soul winners, one of the best soul winners I've ever known. This young man has two legs that are totally dead. They will not support any weight whatsoever. He's in our Bible Institute. But many times, this young man has, with his wheelchair, he has wheeled his way with just the power of his arms up and down mountain roads, 40 plus miles in a day, to preach the gospel in a village where preachers have never been. 40 miles by wheelchair. These are our people. The ladies are preparing lunch for the big crowd. This is 1,000 people there on under the tent during anniversary service on Sunday. I will never forget preaching just a day before we left to come back to America. We got here on Christmas Eve. Preacher, I've never seen this before in my life. You know, I've preached a lot of places around America and 46 states and 12 foreign countries and a lot of places that a lot of folks won't go, like prisons and detention centers. But I've never seen what I saw this day. I gave the invitation and I said, how many are ready to receive my Savior, to turn from every other hope that you have for eternal life and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the hands went up all over the tent. And I thought to myself, they don't understand. I said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, if you want to turn from Buddha, if you want to turn from idols, if you want to turn from spirits to Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sorry for your sin, will you stand? And the ones who had their hands up, they stood among their peers. But now they're waving their hands at me. And now they're weeping and they are gazing at me. The look in their eyes, the only thing I can liken it to is this, and I've thought about it a lot. A mother gets a phone call or a telegram from the U.S. Army and says, we're so sorry to inform you, your son has been killed in the war. And she mourns and her grief is worse than ever before in her life. It's incomparable grief. But 6 months later, she gets a telegram, and the telegram says, we're so sorry, but we made a mistake, and your son is alive, and he's coming in on the noon flight. And so she goes to the airport with some friends, and she stands at the gate, and she sees the plane taxiing down the runway and up to the gate, and the people begin to disembark, and they're coming through down the hallway and out into the lobby, and she's looking for her son, and all she wants to do is put her arms around his neck and just kiss his face. And finally, she sees him come off the plane, and she's watching. And the look in her eyes as he is approaching her is the same look I saw in these people who wanted my Savior. The longing in their eyes, please help us. Please help us come to Jesus. Please help us pray and receive him as our Savior. It was the same look. This grandma and her granddaughter. This man has one leg. He came to our meeting. He lives under a tree. He has never heard the gospel before. He is starving to death. He has I don't know how many diseases. He may be dying, but he's not going to hell because he accepted Christ as Savior. And these are some of the converts of this young man in the wheelchair who we helped to baptize. I have now baptized over 60 of his converts that he's won, wheeling his way to village after village, telling the old, old story. My people would say, thank you very much. Thank you for helping us reach the Golden Land. Folks, when I go over there, I tell them, God saved my soul 46 years ago. And then God taught me to pray. And then God taught me to read and study the Bible. And then God taught me to be a soul winner. And God taught me how to give to missions and how to be involved in the work of the local church. And I've always known, for all of these years, I've known Jesus, the last thing that he said to us was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. I've always known that Jesus, one of the last things he said in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, he said, He said, all power is given unto me. He said, you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Well, I got to tell you, preacher, when I was a pastor for 10 years over in Erie, Pennsylvania, I knew nothing about the uttermost. I knew very little about anything other than my Jerusalem, my hometown. When I first started Golden Land Baptist Missions, I had a fight in my own home church. A man walked up to me, he said, DeWitt, you are quite the Obama. I'm thinking, those are fighting words. But I had really didn't know what he meant. And another woman, as I stood up and said, God's put in my heart to plant 700 churches in old Burma, she stands up and screams, did we vote on that? And the people in my church, they didn't understand missions. They didn't understand the Great Commission. They didn't understand worldwide evangelism. And they didn't want a part of it. They wanted to put all of their money right in Horseheads, New York, in our one little local box. But Jesus told me, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when I go over to Burma, I tell them, I say, folks, I want you to understand, you are my uttermost. But one day, God is going to send you to your uttermost, and really, that will be America. And the Filipinos now, for the last 70 years, we've been sending thousands of missionaries to the Philippines. And now, the Filipinos are going around the world. They have missionaries not only in China and Cambodia, they have them in Haiti and California and Ohio, planting churches, reaching people here in America, because they think America is a mission field, and I do too. But the mission field doesn't start in Burma. It starts in North Adams, Massachusetts. It starts in Horseheads, New York. But if you think that you're going to, if you think you're ever going to follow Jesus' command incrementally or progressively and reach North Adams and then reach this county and then you're going to reach Massachusetts and then America and finally end up someplace in the uttermost, it's not going to happen. We have to do it all at the same time. How do you do that? Can you go to Burma? I don't think so. Good, come on. We'll take you. But not everyone can go to Burma. Not everyone can go to Thailand. But we all have a responsibility to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and all the way to the uttermost part of the world. For me, that's Burma. That's my people in Burma. And what God has done in my heart, I can't begin to describe to you what God's done in my heart. These people are like my family. They are my Mesui Nya, my big family. And I love them with all my heart. And I will die for these people, and I plan on it. But me dying for them won't do them any good, not any more than me dying for you. But praise the Lord, somebody's already died. And somebody's already paid. Paid the price for your sin and for my sin and for their sin, that they might not only hear about Jesus, but come to faith in him and then have everlasting life. In this same town, just down the road. How many have visited the Haystack Prayer Memorial, the monument? It's where the American Foreign Missions Movement began. This afternoon, I'm going to take Cho Cho Wong, and we're going to put our hands on that monument. We're going to thank God that five young men from Williams College walked across campus, and a big storm came up, and they ran for shelter to a haystack, and they began to pray, and God gave them a vision to reach the world for Christ. And as I take Cho Cho Wong to that monument, I'm going to remind him, if there had been no prayer meeting, if there had been no haystack, he would probably still be Buddhist and on his way to hell with his whole family. It takes people in a church with a vision. It takes a church with a pastor who has a vision and a people that will follow him and get behind him and help him reach his Jerusalem, his Judea, his Samaria, and all the way around the world to the uttermost part of the world. And that's God's plan. There's no better plan. And that plan, I'm telling you, as you've seen on these slides, that plan works. You people, because you've been faithfully supporting Bob DeWitt, what you thought was Solid Rock Youth Ministries, and we're still, as you can see, ministering to a lot of young people. You have a part of every single soul that was saved on this trip in the last 6-7 years. We've seen tens of thousands of souls born again on the other side of the world. And a lot of it's because of you. Are you involved in it? Are you personally involved in it? I began giving to missions $1 a week. $1 a week. Then we upped it. My wife and I began supporting $10 a week. And then we got to $50 a week. And what we found out is that no matter what we gave, God would give us more. And you cannot outgive God. Most wonderful thing I've ever done. And I thank you for helping me do it. But what are you doing to reach your Jerusalem? You know what the problem is in American churches today? Is that we have churchianity, but very little Christianity. We like coming to church, but we're not doing much to get people saved. But people are dropping into a devil's hell 3 at a time every second. Statistically, 3 people die every second and go to hell. That's 3 people every single second are dying and dropping into a devil's hell. And there's no coming back. Life is not like a video game. There's no reset button. You can't play it again. There's no second chances. You either find Jesus and forgiveness of sins and eternal life now, or you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, a devil's hell, and there's no coming back. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I'm talking to people. I know you're members of the Mount Greylock Baptist Church, but do you know for sure this morning? It'd be a terrible thing for us to go all the way over to Burma on the other side of the planet, travel 30 plus hours one way, and miss somebody here in North Adams that wants to get saved. Maybe you're visiting this morning. Maybe you've never thought about it. But just like my people in Burma need a Savior, so do you. Just like I did when I was 13 years old, 46 years ago. And I put all my faith and trust in Him because I realized I couldn't save myself. I couldn't work my way to heaven. There wasn't enough I could do. There wasn't enough that I could give to please God. I had to have a Savior. And I let Jesus come into my heart and I asked Him to be my Savior and I asked Him to forgive me and He became my Savior and He has changed my life and He'll change yours too. Let's stand together. Preacher.
Just bow your heads. In just a minute we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Be prepared to end this service. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And so today we saw the fruits of the ministry that God has called Brother Bob DeWitt to in Burma. And many of the young preachers, their families, having an impact on that world, that part of the world, that culture. But just as Brother Bob said, that's all the way across the other side of the world. And we're not there today. We're right here. And God is here. The Holy Spirit of God is here as the word goes forth, speaking to your heart, speaking to my heart. And first, as we've been challenged, Brother Bob has said, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never heard the gospel before. You've never understood that you're a sinner. We're all born into this world that way. And Jesus came to die and pay for our sin. And maybe today is the day that you'd receive Christ as your Savior. There's that uncertainty. Perhaps you've been hearing the gospel for the last several weeks and there's been an uncertainty. But today you want to be saved. Or perhaps it's the first time you've ever heard it. But today you want to be saved. Listen, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, would you do this? If that's you, and you know it's you because God's speaking to your heart in that still small voice right now, pleading with you, calling you, drawing you to Him. As the pianist plays, would you just step out from your seat and meet me in front of this pulpit? If you're a fellow, one of our men will take a Bible, they'll pray with you, they'll answer any questions you might have. Or if you're a young lady or a woman that's here, maybe you'd like to come and receive Christ, you come right now, just step out and come. Come to receive Him. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of. You're amongst friends. The majority of folks in this room at one time or another heard about Jesus, understood that they were sinners, and called upon Christ to be their Savior. You come right now as we listen to the pianist play. Step out and come. For those of us that have received Christ as our Savior, the challenge, there's your investment, by the way, if you're involved in Faith Promise Missions Giving, as many of you are, there's the investment. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that Paul wrote and he desired fruit that would be placed to your account. Brother Bob mentioned that. That we're not there, we're here, but we have a part in whatever everything that you've seen there. You've had a part in that. God takes notice of that. What a joy, what a thrill, what a pleasure it is to be part of missions. Maybe you're here and you're really not involved in missions giving. Not only in missions giving, but in missions praying. I've often said it's often our finances that get them there, but it's our prayers that keep them there and empower them while they're there. And maybe just in these next few moments, God's speaking to your heart about giving to missions, or maybe God's challenging you with regards to the lack of time you spend praying for the missionaries. And maybe you just want to recommit in that area. Listen, however God is leading, you respond as we sing this hymn of invitation. Father, I ask that you'd bless now the invitation, that you challenge our hearts in a very real and powerful way, that you would draw each of us that much closer to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.